You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. That's Tom DePinto. And this is RBLR Sun FC. Hit the button so that you never miss an episode. Tom, how are you doing?
Liz, I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying the magic of the U.S. Open Cup. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Topical shirt.
Yeah.
It's the greatest night in American sporting calendar, at least until we get the Women's Open Cup.
Yes.
I've been having fun. I definitely didn't sleep through a game and a half earlier today either. So I've enjoyed the whole thing.
I mean, I love the Open Cup as well. However, I only paid attention to one game today and they did win. So that's all that matters to me.
Who's they?
So the Chattanooga Red Wolves.
Okay. Shout out Toby Janoho, friend of the pod.
Yeah. Friend of the pod, aka one of the players to actually acknowledge us at the game.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he was cool. He's the guy who came over and he like actually like shook our hands and was like said like thanks for coming, right? He was the captain.
Yeah, he's a former pro, so he's like used to having fans at his games, as opposed to a lot of the college guys on the League Two team who are just like
looking at us like, why are these people here?
Yeah,
you don't have family at this game.
Yeah, right. Nope, it's you guys. You're our family now.
Yeah.
Speaking of our family.
Yeah, speaking of our family, I was all alone at this game.
Yeah. Yeah, a little light at the March 15th game. I am to be blamed for that. I went to the Savannah Bananas game at Ray J, which was fun. Yeah.
So who won? Savannah or Banana?
I don't know. It was too much
fun. You don't know. Yeah, sorry, you had too much fun.
It's not important to know, you know? The real winners are the friends we made along the way.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The real winners were us against Carolina.
That's right.
Right.
The real winners.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good match. Like I said, it was a bit of a thin crowd. I think Wednesday might be even thinner, unfortunately. There was definitely a lot of people in Tampa because I hit so much traffic going to the game. I wanted to shoot someone.
There was
an accident on both on the Howard Franklin and the Leroy Selman. There was no good way to go. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Tell me about the, I'm sorry, everybody saw the final scoreline. Not everybody was there. I know I wasn't. Tell me about the vibes, Liz. Was it good? You know?
It wasn't bad considering we were pretty small in the heat wave. Everybody there was pretty like, heck yeah, let's go. We even had like a couple kind of like, I apologize if they're listening, but very fratty looking group of guys in a bunch of rowdies gear, which yeah, I'll take it. There's some yellow in there. You're in green for St. Patrick's Day. Sounds good to me, man. And they were so into it. They were very cool. I think they said they had been to like one game previously, but just hadn't been able to make it out. But they came to this game, and that was the game that mattered, honestly.
Yeah, congrats on getting to see a win, guys.
Got that win. We're free of Thailand.
Finally caught
yes,
a flight.
Yes, it's a stupid joke. Yes, I like it and think it's funny.
We don't need the flag anymore.
No, we don't.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, if you look at some of the results around the league, it turns out all those draws were kind of shout out JD for bringing this up. I know he's going to listen and say, hey, why don't you mention me? Shout out JD. All the draws we had were really an indication of our quality. Because we were playing some really good teams and ending up with draws. The Dallases, the Brooklyns, the Fort Lauderdales of the world. So to finally convert that against a playoff team, still Carolina, one that's on the descent, obviously, but still a top four team. There's the logo. still a top four team. Still, you know, a quality club with they came in with a good game plan. And to have this be the get right game and get that win finally after some tough games, I think it's exactly what we need. Going into that short turnaround, we as of release of this episode Wednesday, we got a game against a good Spokane side, really hot Spokane side. So,
no, aren't they coming off a loss?
No, they beat DC.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's beating DC is still a win. It doesn't mean you lost.
No, no, no. A win is a win. 3 points is 3 points, man.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got it this match. Yes.
Finally got our three.
Very excited. Yeah. It's good, especially because we got that goal in like the 14th minute. There was some really good pressure by Flo, and the keeper kind of screwed up put politely.
Hey, it's scary when you've got a strong young Danish woman running at you like that. It's a bit of a reversal of fortune. You know, normally we're the team that has to take it on the chin early on in the game, mm-hmm. and claw our way back from there. But we had that nice looking 3-5-2 that I know Sydney had mentioned in your interview, and we were kind of looking at the previous games, looking like, it's not really a 3-5-2, I guess. This game in particular, and you know, she knows better than we do. She's on the team, but it's clear that that's what they were working on in practice that whole week. Because obviously Jade and Listro do typically operate as kind of like the two defensive midfield pivots. But I think the way the midfield set up in this last game with Carolina, they were kind of allowed to slot into those half spaces, carry the ball up a little bit more, give Nacelo and Page the freedom to run up and down the sidelines. I think it's a really versatile formation with the five midfielders. It's hard to do until you have faith in your back line, which we do now. Last time we played Spokane, it was a bit of a mess back there. But we've got a very solid back three, which is good to see. Because, you know, four is kind of the standard for a back line because that's safe, that's good. But if you can start to operate with three defenders and five midfielders, you open the game up a lot for yourselves. It shows a lot of trust from Denise Shilty Brown in her players understanding what she wants out of them. You know, Paige, Nacelo, they're crucial to this at the left and right midfield spot. Their ability to get back and play some defense, like Paige was exclusively a defender for a long, long time. Nacelo kind of exclusively an attacker for a long, long time. So to have those two different looks on two different sides of the field, able to come back and do the dirty work defensively. We know Nacelo loves getting her hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And so like for that to work with that back three makes you a lot more dangerous going forward. So it's a lot of credit to Orcus and Nett and Dori Haugen, Henny and Viv Bissett going across that back line, that we have faith in those three defenders to say, yeah, that's what we're going to roll with. And we're going to operate in the midfield and play some pretty soccer and control the ball the way we want to control the ball. You know, not a heavy possession based type of game plan. We're not over 50%. We haven't been for, I feel like a good amount of games at this point. But it's not always about the possession. It's about what you do with the ball when you're in possession. And our midfield gives us a lot more options now.
Yeah. And this was kind of a weird game. As I was watching and then rewatching, I don't want to say it felt kind of boring, but it was very much like we were right up there with them. And they had kind of figured out, oh, hey, they love the wings. So we're going to go up the center.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might have, I don't want to say I want to say it slowed us down, but it did not stop us. I think maybe we had to shift a little bit, but we figured it out enough to at least we didn't get at that stoppage time goal that's been happening fairly, you know, in the past. We didn't have that obviously again, because as you said, Orcus was phenomenal in goal. Honestly, you should go see some of the pictures that were taken at the game if you haven't on Instagram. If you're listening, for sure, some of them are freaking phenomenal. But they tried to get us, but we didn't fall for it. I'm not explaining it well.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They did something different that a lot of other teams haven't done for us or against us. And that's that's kind of the thing. We do like going up the wings, you know. We'll operate in the midfield because we have good operators in the midfield, mm-hmm. you know, with your Carlys, your Jade, your Jordans of the world. They're very confident with the ball. So when it gets into the middle of the field for us, it creates options. But we're not really advancing the ball there so much as we're advancing on the wings. So when a team wants to play their offense on the sidelines against us, a good defensive stop there means the break is on kind of immediately, because that's where we want the ball to be with us. Whereas what Carolina was doing, they were trying to come across the middle, go a little bit direct, and obviously it didn't work. They didn't score, but doing that did mean having to get the ball and then redistribute the ball, which did give them kind of a chance to settle defensively once they did lose it. Mm-hmm. Which, I think it's probably something they saw. Philip Poole, good coach, and was like, look, if we're gonna lose the ball against this Tampa Bay team, we better be able to defend against it. We don't want to get beat on the, you know, quick counterattack and a tap in like we love to do. And they didn't, to their credit. We did not score on a counterattack. We didn't score on a close tap in.
Yeah, I wish we had scored not on a mistake.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, another thing that's been brought up by not just me, other people I've talked to is why can't we score more than one goal?
Yeah. Yeah.
More than one goal, please. I know, I'm so sorry to any players who are actually listening. You're like, all right, we finally got the win. What more do you want from us? And it's like two goals. Than one goal so that we're not on pins and needles the whole game. Yeah. I don't score whatever minute you like. I'm not complaining. Just the 14th minute does set a bit of a tone. And it does get us a little anxious in those last couple of minutes when it's still 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. As the pressure's coming later in the game, that one goal doesn't feel like too much of a cushion because, you know, it's the difference between 3 points and one.
And also when the other team gets 13 corner kicks in a game.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I didn't have time today to sit there and look at every League One game or League One Super League game in history. There's a League One team on my TV. I didn't have the time to sit there and watch every Super League like stat throughout history, throughout the whole season, but I feel like 13 corner kicks might be a league record for Carolina in this past game.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a good thing, honestly, when you think about it, to be able to defend 13 corner kicks and not allow a goal off of any of those. Good on your defensive unit. Especially when a lot of the times, you know, you're operating out there with three pure defenders. I think we made some substitutions later in the game. We made four substitutions, and only one of them was bringing on a defender. When we brought Jackie Simpson on for Sidney Nicello real late, 77th mm-hmm. minute. So we didn't want to hunker down with that 1-0 lead. You shouldn't feel comfortable with that. We didn't. We wanted to keep pressing the pace. But it's good to see that we were able to kind of weather a whole lot.
My
concern.
Sorry.
It was my concern that, and I know Eureka was more than happy to throw me under the bus to Denise in the post-game interview with her. Because I was, I think, the only one of the four of us to predict we got scored on in this past game. And I do have to defend myself right now because 75% of Carolina's goals this season were scored in the first half of the match. Mm-hmm. And we have had this nasty little habit of allowing a quick early goal. So if a goal was going to happen for Carolina, it was going to happen pretty early in the game. So once we kind of got clear of that, it felt a lot safer until, you know, the barrage of corner kicks. But in general, I think it was a well-executed game plan with that 3-5-2. I like that formation. I hope we see more of it tonight against Spokane.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything didn't work. I just still feel like there's like that next gear. We still have one more gear that we haven't kicked into to be Brooklyn scoring goals, scoring like multiple goals. Like we have our defense down now. I feel like we are defensively solid. But we are, there's just like one little piece missing, some secret sauce, something that we need to just kick it into the next gear and start just, I want 6-0 games, but not really. I just want like 2-0 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Something a little more comforting, something a little less nerve wracking for once would be pretty cool.
And I realize I'm preaching to the choir because anyone listening will be like, well, of course we want multiple goal games. But like, I feel like there's just something's missing. I don't know if it's we play to the level of the team that we're playing a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we're missing something game day. I don't know.
Yeah, it does feel like that sometimes. I mean, like, yeah, everybody, yeah, we want to. Everybody wants.
I guess we are playing to the other teams because we're tying everyone.
Yeah, we're playing exactly to their level, actually, a lot of the time. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody wants their team to score, you know, 100 goals a game. Obviously, that's why you watch your favorite team play, to watch them be really good. But we're not saying that just because of like some, like, this isn't surface level analysis. This is us being like, we have the pieces in the midfield offensively. We have these good strikers. We've brought in more good strikers. Let's finish the link up. What's missing there, Liz?
I don't know what's missing from the team, but what's missing from your life is liking and subscribing. Make sure you follow RBLR Sports on YouTube and RBLR Sun FC on all the other socials.
Yep. Click the thumbs up everywhere you find them.
Yes, please.
You got to collect them all.
Yes.
You get bonus points. At the end of your life, when you enter the pearly gates, God rewards you for...
For liking RBLR Sun FC and RBLR Sports. Yes. Yes, he does. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
It factors in. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but something, I don't know what it is. I mean, I will say Carolina did kind of have our strategy down. And I think until, and I was talking about this with Mike because I was watching the game Carly Giamona is a really big piece of how we got so many goals, I feel like, in the first half of the season. And she has been so effectively shut down.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that she's a bad player or that she's gotten worse, anything like that. Absolutely not. Teams are just noticing that, oh, she's really good. We need to make sure she's covered always, which I get. It just sucks. And maybe that'll come with just a little bit more. We looked her up, right? She's so pretty young, right? Isn't she like 26?
Yeah, we were surprised, actually. Yeah.
Yes, she's 25. So she's still very young. Still learning, still, you know, I feel like that'll come with just getting better as a player, knowing how to make the touches that you do get more effective.
Yeah, it'll be.
I feel like that's that actually might be the piece that's been locked away for a little while now, because Giamona has been so heavily guarded in every game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I've talked about on the show before, a player's gravity being some like mysterious, unquantifiable figure as like how important they are to a team. It's obviously it's not going to show up the fact that defenders were aware of Carly Giamona, that they wanted to slide to her early, that they wanted to make sure she didn't get the ball, that they wanted to make sure she wasn't much of a factor. And that to that, it's kind of a revolving door for us right now. Who has the gravity at any given time? I think early in the season it was Sydney Nocello. Mm-hmm. And I think she still has a lot of gravity too.
Yes, but she is getting fouled significantly less.
Yeah. And I don't think that's teams figuring out how to deal with her, but I think that's teams realizing that letting her get the ball and then fouling her is not the best way of dealing with her.
No, it's not.
But she still has a lot of gravity, and so does Carly. Nothing wrong with Sydney's game against Carolina, but and she was on the far side of the broadcast, but I didn't really notice her for a while because they were looking to snuff her out. They didn't want her dribbling like she likes to do. So it's credit to Phillip Poole's game plan. He's a good coach. But the more players we get that acquire that sense of gravity, it's more players who just have room to step up. Cecilia finds the room a lot of times because people don't go to her for what reason. I don't know. She's young or what, but teams got to start keying in on her. And then Tosh Flint, she was the beneficiary of that pressure, that high press in the 14th minute by Cecilia. Bad touch by the goalie because of it. And she, like I said, it wasn't a typical based on tap in goal because it was pretty far. It was, 18, 20 yards out, but it was also sort of a tap in because she
it was. What joke did we make? It looked like she was playing foot golf.
Yeah. Like she was playing foot golf or trying to get a chip onto the green.
Yeah. Or just shooting at the net, like casually.
Yeah, like she's trying to give a long ball to like a child or a middle schooler, kind of loop it into him there. Yeah. I mean, it's a class finish. It's not easy to do, but it didn't have to be a banger or a worldie. We caught him off guard, and that's what it takes sometimes. Yeah, it was a good game, and I think that's just. For a long time, it was, we got to get our internationals in. You remember that part of the season, Liz?
Okay.
Yeah. And now we've got everybody here, but also we start adding in a couple little spice, Parker Goins, Ava Tankersley, Huxnetier's coming in more. And so everybody's still gelling. And I think that's true of all the teams in the league, if you watch around. But it's just a matter of finding out who's got the hot hand at any given time and relying on them, who's going to get shut down by the other team because they're too hot and who's on the come up and we can find and work with them. So when we have that many pieces, it's a good thing because anybody can probably step up and score that goal at any time, but it's also tough because it's like, who's it going to be today? Who do you game plan around? Cause you don't know who the other team is game planning around defensively.
Yeah, you have no idea who the target of the week is.
Yeah. So until they get out there, it's tough to say. But, if we keep that high press in the early part of the game, other team's going to make a mistake, and we don't need somebody to be a hero. We just need Tosh Flint to be in the right space or Sidney Nocello to run around somebody real quick. It doesn't always have to be hero ball if you got a team full of gamers.
Yeah, that's true.
Not too much of a chippy game, right, Liz? Not like a Fort Lauderdale this past
And I will say the ref maybe could have thrown a card a little earlier for some things. I understand what she was doing, but did not let the game get out of hand, and definitely made sure people knew not to be too much of a shithouser, because as soon as Jade did, she got a card.
Yeah.
Granted, well deserved. She was almost bear hugging her and like pulling on her shirt.
That's I think that was the 44th. That was Flint.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's a penalty I'll take every day. Late in the half like that, you just want to kind of get out. So if your midfield player has to stop the play, be like, hey, everybody, knock it off. I'll take that absolutely. Because nothing's more backbreaking than getting, tied up on your way into the locker room.
Which does beg the question. We have a couple of players who have now hit the 5 yellow card mark. If they'll have to sit out at some point.
Yeah, I don't think any of those players hit it. I've got it right here, actually. I'm actually Johnny on the spot for once with this. Jade Moore is on 5. Brooke Hendricks is on 5. And Viv Bissetta are on 5. We are leading the league in yellow cards. Hell yeah. But none of those 3 players got a yellow in this game.
Oh, so maybe it's the 6th one.
Or they already served.
Isn't it normally the 5th one, though?
Yeah, I think they've all already served theirs.
Oh.
Brooke Hendricks, I went back and looked her up because that's what I was thinking about. she actually served her accumulation suspension the last time we played Spokane back in December. BSR, our back line against... What's that?
What about Bissett and Moore?
They had to have served theirs. I didn't look it up. Extra credit to whoever wants to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's happened. There was a game.
I'll give you a sticker and a cookie if you find me at a game and can tell me. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good deal, actually.
Yeah. I'll buy you one of the cookie ice cream sandwiches because those things are delicious and that lady is awesome.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do it if nobody else is.
Okay.
yeah, because the last time we played them, our back line was not what I would say our standard back line, even for December 2024. It was Edmund, Stouty, Bissett, and Page.
Wait, hold on. Before we get into Spokane, player of the match, because we keep forgetting to do this.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I wasn't getting into it. Yes, player of the match. Liz, hit us.
Orcus! Because she got a clean sheet! Well-deserved. Absolutely well-deserved.
Yeah. I think she had a great game. It was that reaction save real early on, where she like got that left hand punch out.
Yeah,
that might have been the best chance for Carolina. And you know, besides that, I liked Orcus all game for like, obviously for the clean sheet, but she was doing a lot of the fun goalie type shithousery too.
she's also definitely. I don't know if she'd ever admit it, but she's a leader on the field. She was giving a decent amount of direction that we could hear from the stands.
Yeah.
Players telling them, you know, move out, move in, all this stuff to, you know, where to be. And it was good. I feel like the more she was yelling at them for not talking,
yeah,
which is good because, you know, yeah.
I think we've seen a lot of development out of Ashley, I think. This year, obviously she wasn't on my radar before, but from like the first part of the season and now, just thinking about like the interviews that you've seen her do, right, where she was like bashful, like not wanting to admit she was good at soccer early on.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I might be good at soccer now.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I guess I'm good at soccer, I guess. and she was the halftime interviewee on the broadcast. And she sounded like a professional. It was awesome.
Yeah.
my player of the match was the goal scorer, Tosh Flint. Obviously, she's the beneficiary of that good Tampa Bay high press. The ball fell to her. This is what Cecilia was doing. But more than just scoring the goal and Tash, congrats on finally getting that cheeky chip you've been looking for a long time. More than just scoring the goal. Like I feel like it's a cop-out to give the player of the match honor to the goal scorer sometimes, just because it's like, yeah, obviously. More than that, I think she was benefiting from the defense cluing in on Carly and Sydney and creating some really, really dangerous dribbling situations for herself in a way we haven't seen out of her before. For me to be player of the match, it takes, you know, a little something extra that you don't necessarily see on the score sheet because that's a cop-out. And I think she was hitting some alleyways, dribbling against some players in a really impressive way, something unlocking a part of her game, you know, with that early confidence that we haven't seen before. She had a hell of a shot from distance early in the second half that didn't fall, obviously, but you can tell she scored one already off of kind of
she was hungry goal. For another, yeah. Like,
let's keep going, yeah.
Yeah,
so I love to see an offensive player with confidence and not just for being the goal scorer. She's my player of the match for being the most confident offensive player on our team last match.
Awesome. All right. We play Spokane tonight, if you're listening to this when the show comes out.
Yes.
Tonight.
As you should be.
Yes. If you need tickets, please come join the Heatwave Discord. We have so many extra.
Yeah. It's Wednesday. It's tough, guys. I get it.
I get it. Yeah. And and if you're like, why do we have a Wednesday game? It's because Pinellas County schools are on vacation or spring break, excuse me. Spring break. And that way Spokane can play us and then go down and play Fort Lauderdale on Saturday. Yeah. And they don't have to travel as much because they are so far away. Oh my God. It's got to be the most awful, just constant away trips.
They need some travel partners.
At least, what, 2 hours minimum?
From Spokane to anywhere in the league? I mean, it's got to be a 4-hour flight to, it's not the worst, he said. Eureka says. Okay, dude. Yeah, we have to go to Fort Lauderdale. I guess. Yeah.
So do they.
No, yes, I mean, it's probably 3 hours just to get to Dallas from Spokane on a plane, I would say. And that's like your closest rival, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you, I mean.
No, yeah, I'm not going to guess because I'm bad at geography and I will make a fool of myself. I try to guess where places are.
I'll say this. Vegas to Tampa, a flight I have done, is 4 hours.
Yeah.
So imagine going from
that I have done.
Washington to Florida. That's more than 4 hours right there on a plane.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I hope they get a travel partner out there in like California or something at some point. But you know, it really showed for them in like the latter half of the fall season because they were on the road for like, they didn't have a home game for like a month and a half, 2 months or something crazy. Right. And it kind of got a little bit better in the spring.
Yeah. 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 I'm hoping, and I know a lot of people have complaints about the schedule for many reasons. Some of them are hurricane related. Some of them are venue related. Some of them just might be growing pain related.
Yeah. It's
the first season. But I do think that, I mean, it took a while for the Rowdies to get a schedule figured out. And we're moving at light speed. So I say give us a year or two and we will start having a more consistent, more... less conflicting schedule, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully Sun and Rowdies don't overlap so much. Hopefully, like the reason Spokane didn't have so many games later in that fall is because apparently it gets cold in inland Washington State late in the year, I guess. So to that end, that's good. But
cold,
I would.
Cold?
Cold. Yeah. It's, hot.
Yeah, hot. Yeah.
It's the opposite of hot. It happens someplace.
Outside?
Outside in the weather. Yeah. It's where you have to put more jackets on. It gets really bad.
Yeah. Sucks. I don't know if I believe in it.
So congratulations on Spokane on avoiding a lot of their cold. I'm hereby formally requesting, probably yet again, to the league, don't schedule us at home in August. I don't want to be outside in August. So
no, the Rowdies scheduled no games, I think, in July. And that was the most beautiful thing they've ever done.
Yeah. I don't know if they did that on purpose or what, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll literally have to go outside once for soccer in July. And that's for like the J-Cup game.
It's nice to not get heat stroke and throw
up. A bunch of League Two games too, but let's not worry about that yet.
Yeah. That's different, though. That's different.
Enough, like, small talk about the weather, Liz.
Oh, yeah. Right? We are a professional podcast.
How old are we right now?
Oh, no, we're ancient now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 34. Happy birthday. Yes.
Yeah, happy belated birthday to Tom.
Thank you. It's my birthday.
We love our Tomathan.
It's still my birthday now. I have a very long birthday. It's like a week and a half long.
Yeah.
Weird. Sorry, Mom. You were in labor for way too long. It's a multiple day long birthday. Yes, but we got Spokane. It's a team we've played before. They were the team that we love to play at the end of the fall season back in December because we got that big 3-2 win against them. Kind of felt like things would change there. Things did change. I don't know, kind of the way we wanted them to. But like I said earlier in the show, it was kind of a goofy-ass back line for us back then. Edmund Stoudy.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it, and I'm like...
The set page. Yeah. Not what we would do now, right?
No.
So I think with the solidification of game plan, the fortification of the back line, I think this is a better-looking game you know, I don't want to be that guy once again to say we're going to get scored on like I did against Carolina, and then we pitched a shutout. So Denise thought I was stupid. But this game does have good scoreline written on it, in my opinion. I think we get a nice two. I think this is the game. I'm not going to do my prediction just yet because we still want to talk a little bit about the game. But I think this is when we break that one goal curse again. You know, I think we get multiple goals. Hot take. I think my favorite soccer team scores more than once.
Yeah, hot take.
Yeah, really.
It's going to be our worst attended game. It's not fair.
Yeah, exactly right.
This is going to be a cruel joke.
Yeah, it's a spoken. Although
maybe the players will come back to us because people won't be there to beer shower them. We're sorry, players. Please come back and celebrate on the sideline. We love you.
We didn't mean to, and we haven't done it again. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I promise. I'll beat anyone who does. I promise.
You'll beat them. Okay.
Yes. We'll beat them with the smoke holder.
We're threatening people. Yeah, the tiki, the plastic tiki.
It's not plastic. It's metal. Come on now.
Might as well be. So look, we've gone through a lot of changes. It's Super League. Everybody's changing. We're all growing. We're experiencing pains. We've gone through some changes since that December game. So has Spokane. They came out in a 4-2-3-1. And since then, I think they've simplified things. In their last game this past weekend against DC, a 3-2 win, they were in a kind of soccer formation, the 4-3-3. The formation everybody knows and loves because it makes perfect sense. So they've moved around their shape, obviously, from that, you know, pivot, lone striker sort of deal that gets maybe a little bit too cute from what is really necessary for sometimes, into a very solid 4-3-3 block. And in addition to changing the shape, they've also changed their deployment, who plays where. There are some new faces in the starting 11, but there are also some changes as to who's in the back line versus who's in the midfield. So it's something that's worked out for them lately. They're a pretty hot squad, Spokane, with not a team to be overlooked because they play late games. They play on Sundays. They play far away because we beat them 3-2 last we played. You know, we feel really good about three goals in that game, obviously, but we did get scored on twice. So this is clearly a team that can't be taken lightly.
Yeah, but Tom?
Yeah?
What did our defense look like in that game?
Oh, do you want me to go through the back line again? The last time we played Spokane? Yeah, we had Kristen Edmonds at left back. Talia Stoudy playing well out of position as a left center back. And then Viv Bissett as the right center back. That's normal. We understand that. And then Paige Almendares is the right back, and she has been playing on the right side of the field for sure, but I don't think right back is where she belongs for the Tampa Bay Sun. So that is one player who was not here, another player who was not here and was playing out of position, somebody who's golden, and then somebody who was playing out of position.
So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. You look at this lineup and it's like, did we just take players and we shook up a can like with their names and then we took one out. We're like, ooh, this player is going to go here.
Yeah. And Flint up top was the lone striker in that game too, which like weird. Feels a little goofy. And then you realize she scored twice in that game.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
So maybe.
All right.
That's a good call, I guess. Yeah. So she'll join a. Henny was out for that game as well. Not off of the Dallas facial breakage, the injury. This was the game, like I had alluded to earlier. She was serving her 5 yellow card accumulation suspension. So the reason Brooke Hendricks wasn't in our back line is because this is the game immediately after getting her 5th yellow card. So it is a real thing. I did confirm it through independent research earlier today.
Seems suspicious.
Sorry if my boss is listening. I was doing independent stalker research.
It was very important research.
Yeah, yeah, I had to know.
Yes. Yeah, I had to know.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Spokane team did get a nice 3-2 win this past weekend at home in Washington State against DC Power. A DC Power team that is, of course, in the basement and at times played like they were. And a Spokane team that has put together a good string of things, shot up three spots in the league power rankings, which, you know, how much credit do you give power rankings? But hey, they're something. But there were...
When we're at the top, everything. When we're at the bottom, none.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's just opinions. But it was kind of a Zephyr team that was playing down to DC, much in the way we like to play up to opponents or down to opponents. You could kind of see that. I think they lacked a good defensive shape and response in the moment at times. We'll go through what they did kind of real quick in that past game. Spokane did open up scoring in the 36th minute off of very good work by Yaskinik. She's one of the better dribblers in the league. You know, we got to look out for some Spokane players. Emma Aminakic, Yaskovic, really good players. But she opened up the play, got around maybe two DC players and played a ball into Murray, who had a blast of a finish from 18 yards out that went in off of the bar. That's going to be a good goal probably against most teams in the league, the way I looked at it. But if we're able to contain the dribblers outside, drop back for the double teams off the five midfielders that we have and work in between each other. You know, we shut out a good Carolina team. I think we'll be all right. Let's see. DC got a goal back 5 minutes after second half started. It was a good goal by them. Hold up play on the right side, 1-2 passes. The cross came in, and this is a vulnerability. If you get the chance to look at the highlights from this and see what we're seeing, this is a potential sort of vulnerability in this Spokane team. They did do four in the back line, which is very safe and normal. But at the time this happened, the press was coming up the defensive left side. The ball was coming up the defensive left side for Spokane. So their left back was engaged with that. And they had their three other defenders super tight, super narrow in the middle of the field. You know, they didn't have enough width to deal with what was going on at the far post or what was going on in the middle of the field. Two DC players made a great switch off run where one went to the back post and one faked to the back post and came outside, picked the ball up there and scored. So that's a lack of communication, lack of organization that I think we'll be able to capitalize on the way we like to score goals. You know, yeah. Finding somebody sneaking in, beating somebody off of a dribble, Flew popping one in. I could really see Flew scoring in this game, you know? DC got another one back, took the lead off of Gianna Gorley. This was a good counterattacking goal. Zephyr had all but three of their field players up on the attack. Turnover, not even necessarily a super quick turnover, sort of a battle for the ball. Nobody dropped back on the far side of the field. Nobody collapsed on the ball on the near side of the field. And it was just kind of a big dump and run for Power, who Gorley beat her marker on a long run, scored. It was some nice ball. And honestly, for a while there, I thought DC kind of had a lot of momentum. We're looking solid. Could have picked something up here. And then look, when you're the last place team in the league, you're going to make a last place team type mistake at some point. And for DC Power, it happened off of a corner kick, which is promising for us. Remember how we gave up 13 corner kicks against Carolina, Liz? Mm-hmm. And they didn't score off of any of them or nothing?
None.
Anyway, so Spokane gets a corner kick in the 65th minute. DC does some god-awful defending straight up. They play the ball backwards off of a header. There ends up being a handball. Like, yeah, it wasn't good. So the Bosnian national team player, Amin Ekic, I think one of the best players in Super League probably, she steps up to the spot, converts, nice slow roller that went right where she wanted it to. So it was it's 2-2 after the 66 minutes. A lot of feeling out. I think Spokane was looking good for a while there. And DC makes another last place in the league type mistake. Give up a free kick right at the edge of the 18-yard box. 90+3. Just maybe 5-6 yards off the end of the arc towards the right side of the field. And Ekic just blast one. You know, the keeper must have gotten confused by a screen or something, because man, Ekic had her number. It was a nice free kick.
Yeah, the keeper does not clearly know it's Ramadan, because yes. Ekic was just like straight eating on that goal. Oh my god.
You can't be letting the Muslim Bosniak eat like that before sunset. Come on.
No.
Yeah, so it was an exciting game from a neutral perspective, DC versus Spokane. But if you're looking at it from a Sun perspective, you're seeing goals that don't happen for Spokane that did happen in that game won't happen against us, because we don't defend like that. And you're seeing goals that DC scored against Spokane that happen and probably happen more often for us. I feel good going into this game based off of that. You know, obviously both teams are going to make adjustments. Spokane's not going to play the same way on the road against the Sun as they did at home against DC. It'll probably be a little bit more conservative. But I like what I see. Liz, do you like what you say?
I do. Yeah, my score prediction is maybe too optimistic, but do we want to give score predictions?
How optimistic is your score prediction?
I think we could win 3-0.
Hey.
I do. I think so. I think we can keep a clean sheet because we have solid defense and we have the hungriest goddamn strikers.
Yeah.
And then also Sydney Nicello, because her position is soccer player, so yeah. I can't say striker. who they want goals so bad. I really think it is just a matter of time till just like the dam unleashes and we're rolling over people.
Yeah. I don't see any reason this game can't be 3-0. I really don't.
Yeah.
My score prediction is a little bit safer. I'm going to go 2-0. I do think the defense is good. I think we've grown from the last time we played them. I think we're not going to make the same mistakes that DC made. We're not that type of team. So I got a first half goal by Cecilia Flew, and I got a second half goal by Parker Goins. I think they're both hungry players that benefit from the type of play that we are going to look to do against Spokane. I like what they're going to – I like what's on the menu for those two players, you know?
Okay. Super producer Eureka, ever the pessimist, says 2-1 and no one will give us credit for beating a really underrated team. We might even concede early and come back.
Yeah.
Because he's a hater. Even though he still says we're going to win, but he's still a hater.
Yeah, hey, that's fine. Denise will know that you're the one who picked us to get scored on this time, okay?
I mean, I don't know if she has time to listen to this. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Well, she'll ask. Yeah, I mean, I can see that, too.
My 3 points will be well-earned. Okay.
Yeah.
So he says.
No,
3-0 win. We are going to, this is it. This is the game that breaks the dams, that breaks the floodgates. And we're going to start. We want more. Roll up the score.
Give us a hot take. Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
This is what happens when it gets late.
Yeah. 12. Hey, happy game day, everybody.
Happy game day.
Yes. It's officially past midnight. Yeah, and then so real quick then, with that in mind, do you want to talk about the other teams in the league just a little bit?
Games upcoming?
Yeah, there was one other game this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. Brooklyn lost 0-2 to Fort Lauderdale, which was awful.
Yeah. Teams come to Big Jim Stadium and just get debuffed for the next, like, however long. They left us. They got beat 6-0 by Dallas. I think they had another loss in there, or maybe that was, I don't know, but they lost 2-0 to Fort Lauderdale. The wheels have come off the bus in Brooklyn, and that is because of the horrible voodoo magic that happens when you visit Blake High School.
Big Jim will follow you wherever you go. Yeah.
The footsteps of Big Jim. And then we are not the only game happening tonight, Wednesday night, March 19th. If you're a Brooklyn fan, you will be depressed as hell to know your team plays tonight too against Dallas Trinity again. How? What? Again? No? Already?
Couldn't you let us heal first? No, yeah. Absolutely not. We're ripping off that Band-Aid.
3 weeks after you got hammered in the worst ever loss in league history. Do it again. Run it back.
Do it again.
Yeah, so that's that's interesting, to say the least.
Yep, and then Saturday, we just have Fort Lauderdale versus Spokane. They will be pooped, so good luck to them.
Yep.
Like them if they could beat Fort Lauderdale, but not us. That would be that phenomenal. Honestly, like please that would be 11 out of 10 work by Spokane.
Please do. Enjoy your Florida spring break to the fullest by losing one game and then winning another.
Yes.
we'll be in that order. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're all going to be huge fans of the Spokane Zephyr this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Just not tonight.
And then Sunday, you can eat breakfast or get brunch and then sit on the couch and spend about 6 hours watching soccer.
Yeah. So they line these two games up really nice.
We got DC versus Brooklyn at 2:00. And then right after that, we got Lexington versus Carolina at 4:00.
Yeah. Those could be some really interesting games, you know, depending on what Brooklyn decides what they want to do.
Brooklyn's got that Spokane schedule, that Wednesday and then a weekend game. That sucks.
Yeah, at home against Dallas and then on the road.
Oh,
to DC.
Man, they're gonna get beaten by Dallas and then tie with DC, probably.
Tie with DC, I love that. Yeah, which, yeah, not good either.
Yeah, RBLR hot takes.
Yeah, and then that Lexington Carolina game. I think Carolina, I don't know, you would think Carolina might win that game, but they did recently visit Tampa, Florida, which is usually bad news for Super League teams.
It is, yes. They did become the Carolina Descent after the first time they visited, so.
Yeah, and yeah, they're doing it, they might be doing it again, so that could be anybody's game. It's a nice full week of Super League soccer. Not to mention the Open Cup and the men's pro leagues too, I guess, are playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot to watch.
Yeah. Yes, plenty of footy this weekend.
Yep.
All right. That about wraps it up. Remember to hit all the buttons, like, subscribe, RBLR Sun FC, RBLR Sun, or sorry, RBLR Sports on YouTube. Come look at our beautiful faces.
In Big Jim tonight and on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, and Big Jim tonight.
We'll see you there.
I love you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.